It's the Longhorn Game Day post-game show. Here are your hosts, Kevin Dunn and Brad Kellner.
Well, it's a Texas football game, so you know it's going to be close. It was close. It was entertaining. Texas, their dreams of getting to the Big 12 championship are dashed, and Iowa State's got to be feeling good. They're almost a shoe-in to get there and probably take on one of those Oklahoma schools. Welcome to the Texas Postgame Show. It's Kevin Dunn. It is Brad Kellner, and the Longhorns do fall to Iowa State. They had plenty of chances to separate. They had plenty of chances to kind of put this game away, or definitely, like I said, get that separation. But they lose 23-20. Good final drive by Iowa State. We'll get into all that. We do have Sam Pika taking your calls. We appreciate that. 512-447-3776. 512-447-3776. If you want to text us on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. 7-6. BK, we're probably going to be driving all over the road here because there's a lot of things to get to. I think most of us kind of thought this would be a pick 'em game. It was a pick 'em game, but it did feel like Texas, with a slight margin, so it's not a big margin, but had some control in this game and certainly had some drives where they were going to be able to maybe separate a little bit, and they just couldn't do it. Give the Texas defense credit until that last drive. They had some big holds and kind of forced this into a field goal game for Iowa State, but they did not have enough in the end, and there are definitely some play calls and decisions we can get into.
Yeah, I mean, you let a good team hang around, then you're setting yourself up for a disaster, right? And that's been the Tom Herman tenure at the University of Texas. Texas cannot close teams out. They cannot put teams away. And the Longhorns have now played in 22 one-possession games since 2018. So the last three seasons, 22 one-score games. That's more than anybody in college football. Texas is 13-9 in those games. All three of their losses this year, of course, coming by one possession. So you fly close to the sun that many times, eventually you're going to get burned. And it was such a weird game. I agree with you, KD. It felt like Texas was in control for a vast majority of this football game because they were. They led for 58 and a half minutes. They only punted twice. They had 448 yards of total offense. They averaged 6.9 yards per play.
Yeah.
I wanted to get the 69 reference in there.
Yeah.
6.9 yards per play. They pushed the ball into Iowa State territory 8 times in 10 possessions. Like, they did so much right on offense, yet they only ended up with 20 points, and they found their way on the short end of the scoreboard.
These teams were really close, especially when you look at the stats. Iowa State 5 of 14 on third down, Texas 4 of 11. BK mentioned that 448 total yards for Texas, 433 for Iowa State. Both teams right around 300 for passing, Iowa State a little bit more. But they were, look, this was going to come down to making some big plays, and we can get back to kind of what Texas, you know, did and didn't do. Let's start with the field goal. So you've got a 4-point lead. It is a long 4th-and-1. I can say at the time I thought it's a close call, so you can't yell for, you know, any decision unless it's a bad play. We can get into that a little bit, but I would have kicked the field goal at that point. Do you kick the field goal to go up a full touchdown 7?
No, I like the decision to go for it.
Okay.
I really do.
So did Mike Golic on the call.
It was just a really good defensive play made by a really good defensive player, Jaquan Bailey at Iowa State. And I don't hate the play call by Texas, but I wish it was a little bit different. Like, I'm okay with Sam Ellinger keeping it and trying to plow forward for a first down. I'm fine with that, but it was so obvious. It was so predictable. There was no pre-snap motion. There was no creativity. I think everyone and their mother knew exactly what the play call was going to be for Texas there. And it's just too obvious. Now, I'm a huge proponent of the under-center quarterback sneak, so that's always my first choice of play call on 4th-and-1 or 3rd-and-1, because I don't understand why you snap the football back 5 yards when you only have to fall forward for a yard. But I think we're used to that not happening with Tom Herman. But yeah, I'm okay with Sam Ellinger, who was your best running back today, right? Led your team in rushing. I'm okay with him getting a carry. I just wish they had some sort of deception there to make Iowa State think something else could be coming. I don't hate the play call to go for it. If you score a touchdown on that drive, you go up by 2 possessions. You probably put Iowa State away there, which is something that Texas has not been able to do at all this season. But unfortunately, it did not work out.
Here's why I kick it. Because your offensive line, even though you are averaging at that point probably around the same that they finished with, 7 yards a carry, or 6.9 for you.
There you go.
Their offensive line, especially in situations where they've got to move people, I question it. And especially if Iowa State's going to be teeing off on it. So, yeah, I'm with you. If you do go for it, more eye candy. It's not one of those. It's not one of those deal breakers for me. I mean, because it's so close on fourth and one, and a lot of times a binder will tell you to go, and you try and go finish that thing. But the way your defense is playing, go ahead and get up seven.
Yeah, it's one of those things where if Tom Herman kicks the field goal there and Iowa State still drives down the field and ties the game with the touchdown and they win in overtime, people are going to be criticizing Tom Herman for turtling, right? For
right.
getting too passive, too conservative in that situation. Oh, you had a chance to put them away in the fourth quarter.
I think that
and
would
you
be unfair criticism, but they probably would.
Exactly. I mean, these decisions are always hindsight. But I agree with you 100%. Like, either way, whichever side of the spectrum you're on, you can't be yelling from the mountaintops that, oh, this was a horrible call, this was a horrible call. You know, I would have gone for it. I like the decision to go for it, but a good defensive play made by Iowa State. And if you want to criticize another aspect of that play, the decision to run behind the right side of the offensive line, which has been the weak part of the offensive line all season long and was weak today, that's a little weird, right? You've got a first-round pick, an All-American left tackle. You've got a senior center. You've got a decent left guard. He hasn't been great this year, talking about Junior Anglau, but you feel better about the left side of the offensive line than the right side of the offensive line. And on a huge fourth down play, you fake the handoff to the guy going left, you keep it running right. That's another questionable decision right there.
Mike Rose did a good job. Mike Rose was all over the field. Mm. He had 13 tackles, led Iowa State 1.5 for a loss, and he gets good depth in his coverage. There were some questions of whether he was going to play in this game, but he played and played really well. He also blew up the running back on that play, and then you saw, as you mentioned, Jaquan Bailey kind of dip in and knife in and actually make that play from the ground. So really good play by Iowa State. I'll even say, you know, the turtle Tom, and I think we all felt it when Texas gets the ball back and they're up four and it's the second to last possession for Texas. Okay, you can go win this thing. It was an incredibly quick three and out, but I'm not even going to get on. I mean, you can't get on mentality. And so the mentality is what we get on with Turtle Tom on that when you use that phrase. Well, they ran once, but they threw it twice. You can certainly get on execution and how they executed, but even on that one, I'm not flipping out. It's just kind of this is who your team is.
I brought it up in real time, and I apologize if I jinxed the game today, but this was a nearly identical situation to what we had last year between these two teams up in Ames. Texas got the football. Last year's game, 2019, Texas gets the ball back with 4:01. They go three and out. They punt after 45 seconds. This year's game, today, Texas gets the football back up by four. 4:04 left in the game. They go three and out. They take 45 seconds and punt the football away. The play calling was different. Last year was really where the Turtle Tom nickname came about, right? Because you had two runs and then a short screen pass on third down that didn't work. And you give the football back to Iowa State. They march down the field. They kick the game-winning field goal as time expires. Your offense never sees the ball again. This year, they ran it on first down. It was a pretty successful run. They picked up four. Then they take the deep shot to Jake Smith. And that's the questionable one right there, right? I'm perfectly fine. I wanted them to throw the football in that situation. I don't want you running on first and second down and then throwing on third down because that's obvious. That's predictable. That's what you did last
year. That's what they did last
year.
And it didn't work. Yeah.
I want you to throw the football, but do you need to throw it 40 yards down the field? I mean, when have deep shots worked for this team this year? And they were working today, but with Brandon Eagles, not with anybody else, right? So you're going to take a deep shot to Jake Smith in that situation when that play has not worked more often than not this season. And I think that one might be more on Sam than on Tom Herman, because I think there was an underneath route that Sam could have thrown to pick up a few yards. And you're just trying to get first downs there. Like, I know a touchdown puts the game away and you win, but first downs killing the clock would be huge in that situation. Jake Smith had a step, but Sam overthrew him a little bit, and that decision proved costly. Third down, you got the drop by Joshua Moore. It would have been a tough catch, but a play you would like for him to make. So, yeah, you can't criticize Tom Herman for turtling in this situation, but despite the change in play call, you get the same result.
Yeah, they just didn't execute. Yeah. Eagles had a good day. Five catches, 142 yards. You could see him just with his movement and a little bit of acceleration. You could see him kind of coming out of his funk and playing better that was 20 days ago away against West Virginia, even though he had the drop and had some tough plays in that game. But he really looked like the Brennan Eagles that they need. In terms of Sam did miss some throws. It's kind of been the story this year. He was 17 of 29 for 298, did have the touchdown, but really more it was about him on the ground. And I wish that on the second to last play, before they kicked the field goal. You know, I know Tom Herman said they had a check because there was a spy. Iowa State didn't spy a lot. I still wish that that would have been Sam running the football, because you have a timeout and don't put that in a situation where you can get a sack. There's 9 seconds left, so you're not going down the field. You're either passing for 10 yards and you're just trying to set up a better field goal is what you're doing.
Yeah, I heard Tom Herman in the post-game press conference on Longhorn Network talking about that play call, and it was four verts, so they were sending four guys deep down the field.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
They had one guy, Bijan, on a check down, and that's the target. That's who they wanted to throw the football to. They wanted a check down to Bijan, pick up a few yards, take your timeout, set up Dicker the kicker for a shorter field goal, because it was a 53-yarder before the sack.
Yep.
And you want to make it a little bit shorter. We know Cameron Dicker has that range, but obviously he'd like to pick up a few more yards to make it a little bit easier for him. So you call that play, you try to get the check down, but it doesn't work. The offensive line, which I thought played well for like 3.5 quarters.
Then the right side collapsed.
Then the right side really collapsed, especially on that final drive, especially on that play right there. Like, that's on Sam Ellinger. You can't take a sack there. You got to throw it away. And I know you're in the pocket, but like, throw it close enough.
Or
try to take off. Do something. You can't take the sack right there. But man, yeah, the offensive line didn't give him a whole lot of time there, and the play just was out of whack. You end up setting up a 57-yard field goal, which Dicker the kicker has the leg, and he had the distance on that kick, but obviously that's a pretty low percentage kick for a college kicker, and he missed it left.
Yeah, halfway through, you could see that thing starting to turn, and I thought, uh-oh, here we go. We're going to get some Charlie Huff. Charlie Huff with a little more oomph on it, and it just started to wiggle left. But, yeah, he definitely had the leg. And that's actually my biggest criticism at the time, where real time I was thinking, all right, let's run the football here, because even if you get a 2-yard gain, you're just trying to get it in either a spot that he wants or to get that thing, like you said, maybe to a 48 to a 50-yarder instead of a 53-yarder, which it was. You get a 4-yard loss. Now you're looking at 57.
I hate to do this to our man Craig Way.
What?
But it's part of the post-game show.
What?
You have not heard this call yet.
I have not.
Craig Way thought Dicker's kick went in.
Oh,
at the buzzer.
It was close.
It was close.
It was close, man.
Halfway through, it looked like it was going to go. You could tell he had the leg. Right?
Yeah.
You could tell the distance was there, but
you
obviously
could tell it started to swirl a little bit.
Yeah,
though.
But here is how the final play sounded here on the horn.
Justin Minor to snap it. Good snap and hold. The kick on its way. This has some leg. The kick is good. No! No! Everybody was going crazy. And the officials at the last moment said no. It's not good. And the Longhorns fall. It was that close. But the Longhorns fall to Iowa State. The Cyclones win it 23-20.
Are they next to the radio booth, the Iowa State radio booth? Who's that clapping there?
Had to have been,
right?
Mm.
Well, look, you've done it, and you're getting into it, and I've done it, and I've certainly missed calls. Craig's great at it, and so I wish you would have been right.
Yeah.
I wish you would have been right. That
Likewise.
One hurts.
Heartbreak City,
yeah,
right there for Texas. Oh, man, just a heartbreaker. And obviously there's a lot of macro conversations we need to have, and we'll have some of them today. We'll have some of them next week on all the shows here on The Horn. We've been talking about it over the last couple of weeks, KD. It kind of felt like Tom Herman needed to at least get to the Big 12 championship game to maybe guarantee himself a fifth year here in Austin. Things have not gone the way Longhorn fans would have hoped, not only this year, but also in the first 3 years of the Tom Herman tenure. Got a lot of off-the-field issues. You've got recruiting issues with this program right now. And it felt like this was a game that Tom Herman had to have. No decision's going to be made until this season comes to an end. But, you know, the voices and the rumors are going to be a little bit louder after this result.
Yeah, and the off-the-field stuff BK is referencing. I mean, he hasn't had an Urban Meyer type, he had an Urban Meyer type program here in a lot of ways. Mm. Bad off the field, but that's a good thing, you know. Good thing off the field, that's a bad thing on the field. But obviously the eyes of Texas, and there's just so many equations or so many factors that go into this equation. So it did feel like he was going to have to get to the Big 12 championship game. We can talk a little bit about that, and we'll get to that. We'll also take your calls, 512-447-3776. And BK, when we come back, we're going to have our leadoff man.
Oh, yeah.
Ricky Henderson.
Is that his name?
Well, he's the Ricky Henderson of post-game talk show.
That's our man, Dwayne. We'll get to y'all, Dwayne, Pablo, Ryan, Chris, Paul. Appreciate y'all holding the phone number, 512-447-3776, if you want to get in line. 23-20. Iowa State with the win over Texas. With the win, the Cyclones improved to 7-2 on the year, 7-1 in Big 12 play. They sit atop the conference. Meanwhile, the Longhorns fall to 5-3, 4-3 in Big 12 play. We'll be right back with more post-game conversation. You're listening to the Texas Longhorn Post-Game Show on the Austin Radio Network.
Roshon Johnson out wide right on second down. Ellinger design run to the left. Turns inside the 15. Sam to the 10. Sam to the 5. Sam to the goal line. Touchdown, Texas. Bam, bam, Sam rolls it in for the score. And Texas adds to its lead. Less than a yard needed for Iowa State. Purdy, again, a long count. Has the snap, turns hands to Nwanku. Hit in the backfield. He'll go down. First man to hit him was Osai, and then DeMarvian Overshone wrapped him up for a loss. Back to the 46. The Longhorn defense holds.
That is the Viking Fence defensive play of the game. Get to VikingFence.com. Jimmy and the guys will take care of you. Anything that is fence-related, they've been doing that for a long time and have been a proud sponsor. I don't know about proud. They've been a sponsor of the post-game show. We're proud that they are a sponsor. 512-447-3776. This is the Austin Radio Network. I'm Kevin Dunn. We got Brad Kellner. Sam Pika is taking your calls there. Huge play by Joseph Osai. We didn't call his name a ton, but that was a gigantic play as he kind of knifed in almost a la Bailey on Bailey's big play, and then Overshone cleaned it up, forced Iowa State to punt. Texas was really good in those situations until that last drive today.
Yeah, Texas did a phenomenal job in the red zone until that last drive. I mean, it was as simple as that. They gave up a lot of yards, but they were holding Iowa State to field goals more often than not, and usually in this conference, that's going to be enough to win you football games. The problem was the offense couldn't score. 13 points after one quarter for Texas, they ended with 20. They really struggled, and it's even crazier to think that they had 10 possessions. They got into Iowa State territory on 8 of them, yet they ended with 20 points. They averaged nearly 7 yards per play, yet they ended with 20 points.
They punted twice.
They punted only twice throughout the course of the game, and they ended with 20 points. Situational football, it's been an issue under Tom Herman. It was an issue today.
Okay, we've talked about some of the important plays. Should they have punted 3 times?
Oh, the fake punt decision?
Yes.
You know, that's the area of the field where if you are going to try a fake punt, you try it right there.
Right.
Right?
Within
the 40s.
Because if you punt it into the end zone, which a lot of times that happens, the gain is the loss for Texas, but the gain for Iowa State is only 20, 25 yards.
Yeah, and plus you have Cameron Dicker punting the football, right? You don't know how capable he is at pinning somebody deep inside the 20-yard line. Tom Herman was asked about that in the post-game press conference. He said they had worked on that fake punt for a couple of weeks, and he knew it was there. He said he knew it was there, but Iowa State did a good job defending Cade. I don't know how...
Well, how is it there?
How is it there if it wasn't there?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. But Tom Herman also said that Roshon Johnson was open on the play. I have to go back and watch to see if Rojo was also open on the other side of the field or somewhere deeper. But it wasn't there if the play was designed to go to Cade Brewer because he got stopped short of the first down marker.
Yeah, and that was towards the boundary, and so it was number 7 who did a good job and kind of sniffed that out and saw that Cade passed on his blocking responsibilities and started to release out. And that's what I was thinking. Either someone else needed to be there to block or someone else needed to be there in that area of the route combination.
Yeah, and I think it was a little bit of trust in this defense, right? I mean, Tom Herman's like, well, even if we don't get it, our defense has done a great job. And they did do a good job. They held Iowa State to 3 there. Right?
Yeah.
You give the Cyclones the ball near midfield. Obviously, you would love for them to end up with nothing. But, okay, holding them to 3, pretty good scenario. And that's what this Texas defense did more often than not. But, yeah, that final offensive possession for Iowa State, I mean, they marched down the field with ease. 5 plays, 69 yards. In 144.
They really started working the tight ends, and they were doing that in that fourth quarter. I've talked about Sainer. Sainer actually may be a better pro prospect than Charlie Kohler because he's at 272, but he's a pretty good receiver. Kohler, though, as a receiver, and I mean receiver in the college game, is lights out.
Yeah, he was wide open.
He was.
A couple of times in that fourth quarter, which, I mean, he's their best pass-catching threat. You got to find a way to make sure that dude is covered. But yeah, five plays, 69 yards on that drive for Iowa State, that go-ahead touchdown drive. And the last play was a three-yard rushing score. So they really marched down the field in four plays with ease, and Texas was unable to bow up in the red zone, and there's your ball game right there.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. We will get to the legend. Dwayne, you're leading us off. What's up, man?
Hey. I'm I hope they end this discussion by having close football games. UT is ranked fifth in the composite of talent from the recruiting, and that's behind teams that won national championships that play in the college football playoff every year. That's Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. Then there's Texas at number five. Then defending national champ LSU is number six. And then I think the Aggies are behind them. You shouldn't be playing close with Big 12 teams other than Oklahoma. You should be beating their behinds like Mac Brown used to do. If the team with no high-quality team like OU or Kansas State back in those days, most of the time, Mac Brown pounded those teams. That's why he got 10 wins every year. This guy's like a wannabe Mac Brown that doesn't produce on the football field with the talent. These games should not be close. Texas should be dominating the Big 12. They shouldn't be struggling with Texas Tech. They shouldn't be struggling even with Oklahoma State or Iowa State. They should be and West Virginia. They should be pounding those teams because they got far superior talent. Name one of those teams that they struggle with. They got top 25 recruiting, much less top 5 and top 10 like Texas and Oklahoma. Texas should be beating those teams by double digits and battling Oklahoma for the Big 12 title every year in this conference. They should not be struggling. They're not playing Florida, LSU, A&M, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia. They're playing in the Big 12 with top 5 football talent. There's no excuse for that. For a guy who said we're going to be smart, he said all this stuff at the beginning. He's a super genius, all this stuff, but it's not working out on the football field.
Thanks for the call, Dwayne. I don't disagree with anything that you said right there. And what Dwayne was talking about before the season, 24/7 Sports did a composite ranking for most talented rosters in college football. So they looked at recruiting rankings.
Off their
recruiting rankings, which don't always tell a full story. But I always say you cannot win national championships in this sport unless you are recruiting top 10 classes.
It doesn't guarantee it, but you can't do it without
exactly,
it.
Exactly. And Georgia's number one on this list. I know they're having a little bit of a disappointing season, but still a top 10 team in college football. They've played in a national championship game within the last couple of years. Alabama's number two. Ohio State's number three. Clemson's number four. Texas is number five on that list. So we've talked about it. We talked about it all offseason long leading up to the season. Tom Herman has talked about it. We felt great about the combination of talent and experience on this roster coming into the season, and yet they're doing the same stuff they've done the last 3 years. Mentioned it earlier, Texas has played in more one-possession games than anybody in college football over the last three seasons. They're now 13-9 in one-score games since 2018. And you've got no business. I mean, I know Iowa State's a good team, and Matt Campbell's a good football coach, and I know there are some good football teams and good football coaches in this league, but he's absolutely right. I mean, you've got no business making this a habit. If this happens every once in a while, that's okay. But we've talked about it. Texas plays to its competition. They don't play to a standard. In the heydays, in the Mac Brown era, they would play to a standard. They'd have the occasional slip-up where they let a bad team in Oklahoma State, you know, give them a tough run. But
yeah, usually for a half, they'd still win it
exactly,
by three touchdowns.
Exactly. I mean, that's what you feel like Texas should be doing with the talent that they have, and yet they're not doing it. And I love this quote from Matt Campbell.
Yeah,
in the postgame, kind of taking a little bit of a shot at Tom Herman in Texas football. Matt Campbell said after the game, quote, "We're not a five-star factory. We have a five-star culture," end quote. And that's sort of a double jab at Tom Herman because Tom Herman loves to use the word culture, right? He also recruits a bunch of five-stars. We know Iowa State does not. And we talked about it last week on the Triple Option, how Iowa State just ticks me off because no resources and no recruits and no talent, they're able to be on top of the Big 12 conference, and they've built a consistent program with nothing close to what Texas has. And yet here's Texas with all the money in the world, the best facilities, the best talent, and they're 4-3 in a bad Big 12.
Yeah, this game doesn't bother me as much that it's a close game. I expected it to be a close game, and at some point, the recruiting rankings, you push them aside a little bit and say, okay, we're 4 years later, and these guys, and we've seen both football teams.
For sure.
For the 22 games that you mentioned, where they're 13-9, and they lead the country, there shouldn't be that many. No. And so that's where it's frustrating, is that, and it can kind of pile on. So Texas fans are like, oh, we lost another close game. Well, this probably should have been a close game, and you're going to lose some close games. You just shouldn't be in that many close games. And it does tell you about the coaching, the scheme, and the direction of this program, which is, I do think, heading in the right direction. It's not heading to where Texas fans want it to be.
No doubt. And neither of us were surprised by this result, right?
No.
I mean, we both picked Texas to win, but we had this game as
a
one-possession game.
Yeah.
Vegas had it as a pick'em game. So, yeah, it feels like Texas should be able to take care of business. But, look, we've seen it all year long. We've seen it the last 3 years. They play in one-score games. They can't put teams away. And, once again, you fly that close to the sun, you're going to get burnt.
I've been doing, I think I did all 22 post games that you're talking about in that Tom Herman era.
I took a few off.
And you did, and I usually would take Kansas
off.
I'll
make up a Jewish holiday every once in a while.
Just warning, there's a good chance that's going to be the case this year.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Huge game.
Yeah, well, it was going to be a big game.
Yeah.
But it's really the other ones. It's the other Kansas game or Kansas State where they won 19-14 and they got up to that 19-0 lead. It's just the lack of being able to separate, and there's different factors that go into it, but a lot of it at the end of the day just goes back to coaching.
No doubt. Let's go back to the phone lines, 447-3776. We've got Pablo up next. What's up, Pablo?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? You got me?
Got you, Pablo. What's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to first off congratulate Iowa State. I think this is their first time to go to a Big 12 championship game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been to a couple of real epic conference championship games, so I'm kind of happy for them. But I'm just really disappointed. And, you mentioned earlier about the field goal decision in the fourth quarter. And the reason why I don't like the play they called, but I definitely would have gone for the field goal for the reason that you mentioned earlier, which was that Tom Herman had to have this game. And I don't know if you guys remember back in the day whenever Mack Brown pulled Vince Young in favor of Chance Mock against Texas Tech because things weren't working out. I think it was 2003 or 2
yeah.
or something like that.
43-40 game.
Yes. And it just always felt like Coach Brown put all his guys in a position to win at the end, no matter what was going on. He did his best. Like, he got out of the way and let the guys go win. And I feel like Tom Herman just doesn't have a feel for his guys. Like, maybe it's not his guys. Maybe, I don't know whose fault it is, but it's just not working out. Because, I mean, they lost the TCU game by a play. They won the Tech game by a play. They could very easily lose at K-State. I mean, this could be a grand total 5-win team or a 6-win team, and they have 4 and 5 stars all over the place. So I don't really understand, how all that works, like how that math comes together. But I just remember when Mac had the feel and he pulled Vince and we were all in the stands freaking out, and then comes Chance Mock and wins the game, and it just showed that Coach Brown like had the right feel for the game. And Coach Herman said something in his press conference that I totally disagree with. He made it seem like, plays and coaching in the first quarter is the same as plays and coaching in the fourth quarter. And that's just not true. Like, in basketball, there are lots of guys that can score in the first quarter. There are not a lot of guys that can take the shot at the end. So I just think the fourth quarter coaching is just really getting in the way. It's the second year in a row they've lost to Iowa State, I think, because the coach got in the way. And it's really disappointing to me. And I don't know where they go. I know the recruiting is starting to turn the wrong direction. And I don't know, the NFL right now, there's about 30 Longhorns that are contributing. I think from this team that played tonight, there's probably 4 or 5 guys that are going to fly under the radar, make it to the NFL, and have much better experiences in the NFL than they did in college. And that's a shame. And I don't know. I live out of state now, so I don't know what the feeling is in Austin. But I know when it comes to the head coach of Texas, it's got to be a big name. I mean, the only couple of guys that can walk in and take it no matter what are probably Saban and Meyer. I don't see anybody else that could come in and just take it. So, anyway, that's kind of all I got. I'm hook 'em, ride or die, but I'm just so disappointed right now. And, I just don't know what to say. I fully expected them to win this game. And I just think fourth quarter coaching makes all the difference in the world. And
we got you, Pablo. We appreciate it, man. We could feel the pain. Mm-hmm. You had a lot to say. Correct that. And some good stuff to say, too. We've been talking about the player rotations, personnel rotations, and they have been frustrating. I'll have to go back and rewatch this one. I did see Marcus Washington out there on a third down.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter, yeah. So you saw that one, too?
Oh, my gosh. You had Brendan Schooler and Marcus Washington in the game in the fourth quarter on that final drive.
Yeah, final drive.
I mean, so, you're down by three. You need a scorer. You need at least a field goal to force overtime.
One of them was on the third down.
You got your third string H and, like, your sixth string Z in the football game. What are you doing? Like, do you not want to be here, Coach Herman? Do you not want this job anymore? Like, that is ridiculous right there. If you go out and lose games with your best 11 on the football field, I don't want to say that's fine, but at least you're going down swinging. Putting a bunch of backups in on the most important possession of the most important game of the season, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Well, he's been doing it all year.
I know.
I mean, there was no change there. They did actually go to more of an empty set at times, did it more often.
Which worked.
Which did work for them. But even when they were going to some of those empty sets, you look at the personnel, and it's kind of the same old, same old. If Tom Herman does not work out here, I think he's going to look back, and hopefully some of the coaching experience he has and moving forward, he's going to realize, I got to be more on my position coaches, and we got to make sure that we're more, to use a term he likes, aligned with getting the right personnel out there, because it is different on third down and 11 on your last drive in the fourth quarter than second and eight in the second quarter.
I got to be true to my word here. I said during our show last week, if we don't see Jake Smith and Jordan Whittington on the field at the same time during this game, I'm going to be furious.
Yeah.
And I don't think we saw that once. I get that they technically play the same position, but those are your two biggest difference makers.
Especially
at
wide if you're
receiver,
going to empty set.
Especially if you're going
you
to
got
empty
five
set.
Guys out.
And Brandon Eagles had a great game today. I don't want to take anything away from him. But we knew going into this game, or at least we felt going into this game, that Jake Smith and Jordan Whittington are your best weapons at wide receiver, yet you don't have those guys on the field at the same time. Instead, you've got Cade Brewer, who's just a very average receiver. You've got Marcus Washington, and you've got Brendan Schooler on the field on your most important possession of the season. I mean, it just makes absolutely no sense. And you're right, we've seen
it
all year
long. I mean, it's consistent.
You would think, you know, when your job's on the line, maybe you'd try to switch something up, and that's an obvious, easy thing to switch up, and yet Mensa didn't do it.
Tough day for Tariq Black. Jordan Whittington did have three catches for 26 yards, did have one of those on a first down conversion. I was okay with the running backs and how they split that up. Man, they were feeding Bijan early. I want to say the first 12 plays, there were 10 targets or carries, mainly carries there, and there was a drop on a little bit of a flare or swing pass. But they were trying to feed him. I was okay with that, but the receivers, it just kind of continues to be the same thing. Jake Smith, so close to busting that one.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really close. I think they probably got the right call. One of the, either a heel or a toe, and it may not have been right at the 33, was out.
He had a great catch, too, down the field on a scramble drill type of play. Looked like they had actually worked on that, right? I know
backyard
Rod
football.
B, our co-host, has been clamoring for that all season long. We actually saw one of those work. All right, back to the phone lines, 447-3776. We've got Ryan up next. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, Ryan. What's up?
Hey, so a lot of key points made. I think kudos to the defense. Those guys played well. Jalen Green, kind of the fall, you know, the poster hit on their running back was pretty badass in the first quarter there. But at the end of the day, here's what this comes down to. You know, Dwayne made the point about the talent and the recruiting and the five stars. How many of those teams that are ranked ahead of us or even the next four or five behind us would have not put the ball in the end zone, second and goal from the 1 yard line on the first drive? And I think that was key. Hmm. That was really a big deal. And I think also the fourth down BKM with you. I think I like going for it on that fourth down, but I can't believe, you know, you've been having good runs with Roshan and with Bijan running off tackle on the left hand side, and or move the pocket and get Sam a run pass option. Give yourself some options other than just running over the weakest part of the line. That was the play call made my head explode. I loved going for it, but the play call ruined it. And at the end of the day, guys, we're never going to get any better if Tom Herman is here. It's just not going to happen. And, Katie, you talk about this on the show, like the Shaka Smart comparison of, I want to see us do well, but I know this guy is not – he's not going to get us to the next level. We will never compete with OU as long as Tom Herman is here and what Lincoln Riley is able to do there. And I think this was a – y'all talked about this. This was a must-win game for him, I believe. I believe his fate is pretty much sealed. But I'm also a believer, as much as I hate to say it, unless you can go pry away a Kyle Shanahan or go get Urban Meyer, we're going to be mired in mediocrity for a long time. And I think that that's, you know, we all have had that icky feeling of Urban Meyer, you know, if you bring him in. But I'll tell you what, you're going to notice a difference on the football field of wins and losses, and I think we all agree with that. But just these young and up-and-coming good coordinators, we've seen this, and it's we've seen this movie before. We know how it ends. And I think that you got to go do something different because, I mean, as crazy as it sounds, it's almost you get rid of Herman now so you save recruiting, which I don't think they're going to do that. That's a little harsh. But recruiting's going to suffer. I mean, let's be honest. We've seen it suffer, and it's going to suffer. And another thing, Herman, and this, I don't know if it was this Monday or last Monday, that press conference where he went on that tirade or he loaded that question on Juan Richardson, but this is why the recruits are leaving you, because you pooped the bed at, you know, the biggest game that you have of the season, and, you know, they just can't do it. I think they got to make a change there. I think it's inevitable, but, you know, curious to know your guys' thoughts on when and how and if it happens. I appreciate it. Wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving. Hope you had a great one with the family, and thanks again.
Happy Thanksgiving, and hope you enjoy the weekend, Ryan. You've been calling for a while, and you always have, I think, objective and fair-minded calls and good calls.
Yeah, you should take your job.
Yeah, mine?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he easily could do that.
Oh, well, you took that better than I thought. All right.
Yeah. No, I'm still marinating on this loss right now, but also on some of the points that Ryan made. Ryan did a good job, especially early on, talking about it's kind of who you are. That if you are one of those teams that's either five after or five before in those top 10 recruiting composite rankings, then you're going to have the type of dogs that you're going to be able to score a touchdown on that. And and you could even feel it then. And I thought they made the right call. Some other stuff that he brought up. And like I said, I'm okay even with the fake punt and going for it on the fourth and long one. But I do feel like one of the issues I've had with Tom Herman is I come in here a lot of the post game and I'll say, look, guys, theoretically, I'm okay with going for it. It's what you had to go for.
Yep.
And the boundary play with Cade Brewer and that being your only outlet and the safety is able to come over and make that play. And, you know, they've actually changed up their run blocking schemes a little bit the last couple of weeks, last couple of games. And they did early on in this game. And it just feels like they go back to kind of some of their more basic stuff when getting back to personnel stuff. They need it the most.
Yeah, money plays.
Money plays. Fourth and one.
Fourth and one in your biggest game of the season. You got to have something better than that drawn up. And Iowa State, I mean, look at it. Their most important drive of the season, right? That go-ahead touchdown drive in the final few minutes. They call a bunch of really good plays, and they march down the field with ease. 69 yards in five plays. It took less than 2 minutes for them to take the lead. They were really good on short yardage situations, too. We were talking about that a lot during our Facebook Live watch party. Third and one, third and two. Iowa State had plays ready to go for those type of situations, and Texas really didn't when they were in that down and distance. And yeah, the first point Ryan made about the opening possession of the football game kind of being a microcosm of this entire program, not just of today's game, but of where this program is. And you've got a first and goal from the four, and you've got a second and goal from the one after a three-yard Bijan Robinson run. With your athletes, with the dudes that you're supposed to have, and the resources you're supposed to have going up against what Iowa State is supposed to have. And I know Matt Campbell's done a great job building that program, and he might be the next head coach in Michigan. Who the hell knows? But the fact that you can't bully your way against Iowa State, that just kind of shows where this program is right now.
And it goes years before. It goes into development and strength and conditioning, and they've done, I think, an okay job with that. But the reality is the offensive line personnel has been awful. And for 10 years, it's not awful this year. But it's not where it needs to be.
No, we talked about it going into the season, right? You felt like personnel-wise this had a chance to be the best offensive line for Texas in a decade plus, and it has not been that.
The other thing, Ryan, it's almost like you were in here before the show talking with BK and I, because BK was talking about his crazy night last night.
Oh, yeah.
She sounds amazing. I think you found the one.
I was with my family last night, bro.
I mean, you know,
no, I don't.
I got some news. I got some news from the sisters who actually texted me.
Okay, we're done with this conversation.
No, but because you and I were talking about just do you go make that move if you don't get the right guy? Because Texas, the last two coaches, they've gone and got the flavor of the year, flavor of the last couple of years, and I thought Herman was going to work, but essentially that's what Charlie Strong was. Then you go with Tom Herman. Do you have to go get someone to where it's either Urban or, like he said, a Kyle Shanahan, or do you just sit on it at that point?
Oh, man, it feels like you have to get one of those guys. And even though nothing is out to the public yet, you have to assume, you have to know that the people at the University of Texas have contacted Urban Meyer's people, right? Not since the result of this game, since like the Oklahoma game a couple of
weeks
ago.
Probably the last month.
So that's the guy, that's the number one target, I think, for the University of Texas. And I think Texas, despite the pandemic, despite what the economy looks like, the Longhorns, the big money donors are going to come up with the big money to get any coach that they want. The question is, does the coach, that big fish out there, whether it's an Urban Meyer, whether it's a Kyle Shanahan, whether it's somebody else, do they want to come here and take this job right now? That's the big question. But, yeah, I don't know what you do. If you find out that you can't get those guys, right? If Shanahan wants to stay in the NFL, if Urban Meyer wants to stay at Fox Sports, I don't know if there's any huge name out there that's really going to excite this fan base and think, oh my God, we're saved, we're back, it's all good. So then at that point, do you keep Tom Herman and try to give him a fifth year? And if it doesn't work, hopefully somebody else, another big name coach, is out there on the market. That's obviously a huge question.
Yeah, and what you balance with what Ryan talked about is really, especially if he's a lame duck, and USC knows this feeling, if he's a lame duck going into next year, then you can set the recruiting back even one more year. And so you don't make the move right now. Now you do, if you're going to get a guy like Urban, you try and let that be known that, hey, we've got something big coming in. You can maybe flip some kids. Back to the phone lines. It's a good call, Ryan, 447-3776. Chris, you've been hanging. We appreciate it. What's up?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Chris.
Couple of quick points here. I think one of the most frustrating things is this was a coaching loss, pure and simple. Matt Brown wins his football game. He wins at least two more football games this year, including the TCU game. You definitely have to kick that field goal to go up by seven. So worst case scenario, you're kicking that last second field goal to win the game, not to tie it, you know, and that was a train wreck. How you don't run the ball, run the clock down the last few times you had the ball, I just don't get it. You're throwing 40-yard passes down the field, expecting your guys to make an over-the-shoulder catch from 40 yards out. I don't know who said this, but some coach said it's all about the players, not the plays. Well, this coaching staff doesn't get scheme, substitution patterns. I don't really get what we're doing on offense. But as far as coaching goes, I think CDC needs to look with the same approach you made for women's basketball. You go out and you get the best. You don't get an up-and-comer. You need somebody with 10 years of experience and some credentials to make it happen. If you can't get an Urban, you know, maybe you stick with Tom. Mm-hmm. But it's clearly not happening right now.
Chris, thanks for the call, and I'm in agreement with you. The next hire needs to be a proven commodity, and it needs to be someone who is at that type of level. And, you know, that's that weird decision of, like I said, having a lame duck coach if you stick with Tom Herman for one more year. But don't go make a hire like you have the last couple of times. And sometimes that can work, but if you have the resources and you have the leverage and the type of brand and job that Texas is, go hire a proven winner.
Right, yeah.
At that level. I understand Charlie won at Louisville, and Tom Herman for 2 years was a real hot name at Houston and won there and did some good things. I thought it was going to work, but it didn't work. You can't gamble like that anymore.
No.
Not for the next one.
I agree 100%, right? You got to learn from your mistakes.
Yeah.
Right there, no question. And I do, I mean, I disagree a little bit with Chris on the fourth down decision. It's not a no-brainer to kick a field goal there. Right, with the game 20-16,
that could have gone either way.
The fourth quarter, you should have a better play call. But I mean, you play to win the game, you coach to win the game. You don't coach not to lose. And kicking a field goal there is like, well, if they score, then it's tied, so we won't lose.
Right.
It's like, no, I don't like that thought. Some people do, but the analytics tell you to go for it there. Make your binder jokes all you want, but like that was the right decision to go for it there. I don't think it was a no brainer either way.
No, either way it wouldn't.
But and also, I mean, there's Like, I remember last year's game. I was getting flashbacks of last year's game, especially the fourth quarter and the clock mismanagement by Tom Herman in Texas up in Ames against Iowa State. The three and out that they had, they got the football back with 4 minutes to go. They go three and out. They punt it. Iowa State gets the ball back and kicks a field goal at the buzzer to win. They ran it on first and second down in that sequence, and they threw a screen pass on third down. Like, they were so ultra-conservative. We brought up Turtle Tom in the first segment. They didn't want to do that again this year. So they ran it on first down, but then they threw it on second down. I don't disagree with throwing on second down, but you don't have to throw the football 40 yards down the field.
No, but I think that's on Sam. I think there were other routes that were open. So, like I've said, there are multiple factors that go into it. But at the end, so there may be one play where it's like, well, that actually wasn't on the coaching. And that drive may not have been on the coaching.
Right.
At the end of the day, though, it's on the coaching.
Yeah, and exactly. That's the big picture thing. But I've got no problem with throwing the football there. I mean,
it would have been exactly what they did last year.
You need first downs. You're not trying to kill clock in that spot. But, yeah, overall point, I agree with you. I agree with Chris. Coaching mismanagement has cost this team three games this year. Definitely cost them the game today. The final score from DKR, Texas Memorial Stadium, the Iowa State Cyclones 23, the Texas Longhorns 20.
Can't wait for December.
Why?
I don't have to stare at that mustache
anymore. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. November, hornfm.com. Man. Go donate if you can. We would appreciate that. All right, we've got more to come. Plenty of callers still on the line. We'll get to y'all. We appreciate the love. 447-3776 if you want to jump on. Once again, Iowa State 23, Texas 20. You're listening to the Texas Postgame Show on the Austin Radio Network.
Sam looking over the Iowa State defense, has the snap. Ellinger looks to throw with some time, fires to the end zone, caught, touchdown Texas, Jared Wiley in the back upper north end zone right corner, and the Longhorns extend their lead.
.23-20 is the final score. Iowa State gets the win, a huge win for that program. One of the biggest in program history. It's been since 1912, since they won a conference championship. I think there were two schools in the Big Three or Four, whatever the hell that was back then.
Yeah, Woodrow Wilson.
They showed a picture of that team. Do you see those guys?
No.
God, everyone just back then looks, they look so dusty.
What are they, 5'7", 150?
Yeah, exactly.
Couldn't throw the football.
Little Wing T.
Unbelievable. Yeah, Woodrow Wilson was actually at that game as a fan while also serving as president of the United States.
All right, Brad Kellner, I'm Kevin Dunn. This is the Austin Radio Network, Texas Postgame Show. Phone calls, 512-447-3776. I think we've got full lines right now. We're going to try and do a little speed round and move through these things. So let's get back to it. Paul, you're up next here on the show.
Hey, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Well, you know, I said a couple of weeks ago, I hate to say the word fire, so I want to give Tom Herman the evaluation at the end of the season. But should something happen at the end of the season, everyone keeps talking about Urban Meyer. I don't know if he'll be here, but right now my evaluation list is Kirby Smart, Bob Shipley, Brad McCoy. You know, look, guys, I've seen a lot of coaches come and go at the University of Texas ever since Roll retired. So, you know, and I admit today wasn't the greatest day in the world, but you know what? I'm just going to sit back and let y'all hash it out. But, hey, happy Thanksgiving. There's more things in the world to worry about, but I'm not so worried about the situation because I believe the Longhorns already know who their next coach is going to be. It sure the hell won't be me, but I'll just sit back. I'm serious, guys. I have an attitude of winning like Vince Lombardi. The only thing you got to do is win, but I think I said it wrong. But anyway, but happy Thanksgiving, and let's see what happens in a couple of weeks now. Hook 'em.
Thanks for the call, Paul. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. What an interesting list.
Man.
Those are three names that I had not heard linked to the Texas job.
Definitely not Shipley and McCoy.
No. Bob Shipley's part of the staff, right?
He is.
He's got some advisory role now at the University of Texas.
I think they like him in that spot.
Yeah.
Head coach would obviously be, that'd be a jump.
I don't know if that's a job he wants. I don't know if Brad McCoy wants that job at all. Kirby Smart, I think, is happy at Georgia.
Yeah.
I don't think he's leaving to take the job at the University of Texas. And in regards
bigger
to the
payroll, too.
Yeah, in regards to the original comment from Paul about waiting until the season's over before you evaluate Tom Herman, I hate to do this. There's two more games plus a bowl game, but the season's over, dude.
I've evaluated. I'm done.
Yeah, the evaluation should
be done. I appreciate
what
he's saying, and you should do that for the most part.
I mean, if Texas wins the next two games 70-0, are people really going to change their tune about this coaching staff?
No.
Or should they change their tune about this coaching staff, right? I mean, the goal for this year's team, the goal every year at Texas, but especially for this year's team with senior Sam Ellinger and a loaded roster with talent and experience, the goal is to win the Big 12. And the fact that you know with 2 weeks left in the regular season, you're not even going to get to the conference championship, your evaluation should be done.
I think the evaluation is done. Before we get back to the phone lines, a previous caller, Chris, just reminded me because of the Lombardi quote there that our man Paul threw out there. But Chris had said, I forgot which coach said it, but it should be about players and not plays. I'll tell you the two coaches who said it. One was Greg Davis, who Tom Herman kind of learned under, and Tom Herman has mentioned that. And the other was Mike Yurcich when he got the job.
Yeah. I think Tom Herman said that, too.
No, I think Herman has because of Greg Davis.
Yeah, Greg Davis. Oh, boy, that's going to make fans happy. Going back to the Greg Davis well to try to save this thing.
Right, awesome. As they're watching Mac Brown fight a top five team right now.
Unbelievable. All right, back to the phone lines, 447-3776. We've got Jet up next. What's up, Jet?
Hey, guys, thanks for letting me in. Hey, I just wanted to, 2016 when Kansas kicked the field goal, and they made that, it was over. And when Dicker was lining up for that today, I was just like, I mean, obviously I want him to make it, but when he missed it, like, it was almost just a sigh of relief. Like, oh my God, it's finally over. We can move on. Whether it's Urban Meyer, whoever it is, doesn't matter. We can move forward. And, I think Texas has become the Michigan of football. They think they way better than they are. Mm. I mean, we've had three conference titles in the last 30 years, basically. That's one every 10. I mean, BK, you're good at math. You can figure that out. but that's not very good. And, we had 2005. But, it's just Texas, they puff their chest every year. They think they're way better than they are. And we just got to be, we got to be realists, and we're not that good, and we need to find a better coach, and Herman's not the answer, and thank God we can move on now. So let's go forward. Hook 'em.
Thanks for the call, Jet. Yeah, I've been saying for a long time, there's a lot of similarities with not only the universities but the football programs with Texas and Michigan, and a lot of those are compliments. So really good state schools. There's a lot of good things that go with that, but the entitlement or maybe lack of self-realization at times can be startling, and I think it does play into the entitlement and also just the lack of reality. The only way to get better in life at anything is to kind of understand where you're really at.
Did I just get complimented on my math skills?
I think he was being sarcastic.
I'm taking it as literal.
Take it as literal.
Thank you very much.
Run
Jet.
With it as literal.
I don't think Jet's in the minority here. I mean, I think he's the first caller to bring this thought up, but I think there were a lot of Longhorn fans just talking to folks and checking social media. There are a lot of Texas fans who are rooting for Texas to lose.
Mm.
I don't know how many will admit that openly. I know some will.
Yeah.
I know some are like, hey, whatever it takes to get rid of Tom Herman, let's do it.
Macro.
Let's lose. I don't care.
Betterment, I'm going to be a fan in 10 years.
Exactly.
I'm thinking about that.
Exactly. So I do think there were some Longhorn fans and probably a decent percentage of Longhorn fans who weren't that upset by the result if it means a change made at the top.
But a completely different feeling than Kansas with Charlie where I still have more hope for Tom Herman that he could actually turn this thing around than Charlie.
Yeah.
I don't think he will. Charlie, I knew, and knew at a certain time well before that, there's no way this thing is going to work. And it was Kansas. They weren't still playing for a Big 12 championship. If that field goal goes through and you get into overtime and win, they're still fighting for a Big 12 championship.
Yeah.
There's the difference.
I mean, Texas lost to the first-place team in the Big 12 today by 3.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say it's a moral victory or you should feel good about it. No, you should be beating Iowa State every single time you play them.
But it's not losing to Kansas.
It's not losing to that Kansas team a few years ago. No, it's okay.
All right, back to the phone lines. Chris, you're up next here on the Texas Post Game Show.
Yes. I'm an Iowa State alum. I watched them all year. Hats off to Texas for doing so well. I know you don't think so, but I think one point you haven't brought out is that Matt Campbell may get 3 stars. He may not recruit like Texas does, but he can develop players.
Oh, yeah.
He can turn them into 5 stars. And you look at the defensive coordinator, what he's done to turn 3 stars into 5 stars, and the offense, which Texas did a great job of holding our offense down today. I think you ought to give Tom Herman a few more years, honestly. I think he has a huge upside, but I know you don't agree with that. But give Matt Campbell credit for taking 3 stars and turning them into 5 stars. You got to, even if you have a 5-star, if he's not playing 5-star, then you're in trouble.
Thanks for the call, Chris. We appreciate it. Matt Campbell has done a tremendous job there, and BK and I on the talk show we do here in Austin Monday through Friday at Triple Option with RBKD 3-7. We talk about it all the time. We've talked about it. We talked about John Haycock, who is a great mind and a really good defensive coordinator, Tom Manning coming back. There's no question they develop it. They don't develop all those 3 stars into 5 stars, just to kind of throw that in there. But some of the guys they do, and Sainer and Kohler especially, are going to be really good players. They've done a great job with Mike Rose, who was a basketball player, 6'4", 210, and they put good weight on him, good strength.
Yeah.
And now he's one of the best linebackers in the country and will definitely have a career in the NFL. Jaquan Bailey as well. There's no question about that, but in terms of Texas, there's been way too many 4 and 5 stars that go down to 3 stars. Iowa State may be taking those 3 stars to probably more 4 stars,
mm-hmm.
but Texas has taken too many 4 and 5 stars, BK, to 3 stars.
Oh, I mean, I think Matt Campbell's a hell of a coach.
Great coach.
What he's done at that program is ridiculous. And, I mean, Iowa State has been the laughingstock of this conference for most of my life, and yet he's got them competing for the conference championship, right? Something they haven't done in more than 100 years, and when's the last time an Iowa State coach has been linked to a Michigan job, like a blue blood type of job? He's been awesome, and you're lucky to have him, Iowa State. And as a Texas fan, I hope he does take the Michigan job, because I don't want to see him anymore.
Yeah,
because he's such a good coach, right? He's done phenomenal with Iowa State. It's a problem with Texas. And there was one thing that Chris said that I disagreed with.
So I don't know if he was being sarcastic or not, but you're probably not the only Iowa State fan that wants Texas to extend Tom Herman.
Yeah, Chris, you did a great job of not sounding sarcastic. I assume you were sarcastic. Looking at Twitter and watching Iowa State fans and Oklahoma fans and fans of every other team across this conference, they are hoping Tom Herman gets extended after this year. So that's where we're at as a football program right now.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of Longhorn fans are ready to move on from Tom Herman, because he's become the laughingstock of this conference.
Question with Matt Campbell is the expectations are low there. And so you can actually look at – there's still a question about Matt Campbell. Matt Campbell now is the hot, sexy coach. Yeah, I think he has proven more than Herman did in 2 years at Houston in terms of building it, because it was also a tougher job at Iowa State. But we'll see what he does with a place like Michigan. It doesn't always translate like that. Now, some coaches are just great coaches, and they're going to win. Urban was like that. They're going to win at Bowling Green, Utah, Florida. So different levels.
Yeah.
We'll see if Matt Campbell can do that at Michigan, but he's a really good coach. We know that.
We'll see if he even takes that job.
Yeah.
Maybe he wants to stay in Ames forever.
I don't know about that. Let's get to this next caller. He's going to have a good point, probably.
All right. We've got Kevin up next. Are you calling KD? Kevin, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
We got you, Kevin. What's up?
All right, good. You know, hey, I do think Matt Campbell's done great. It's, like, amazing that how many guys can come into a program like that or a program.
There you go.
You know,
yes, sir.
A program like that and come in and kick ass like that. He's done a great job. But, you know what, we got to say something about Sam. I think Sam's a warrior. I think I wouldn't say he's been dealt a bad card, but he certainly has had a lot of adversity. I think he's a Longhorn legend through and through. It's a sad day to watch Sam go down like this. And I know his season's not over. I get that, and he's done some great things. Let's move on to Tom. You know him, watching him on these shows go, this is our house, and you know, we're Texas. I mean, it just kind of rings hollow. It's rung hollow for a while. And the arrogance, I guess, of him is really what gets me. And I don't want to just keep on beating on Tom. I'll just leave it there. But CDC has – it's not his guy. So you got to know – I know y'all know. But we've got to know that CDC is sitting there thinking, okay, how do I do this? Like, do I let him go through the whole season? But, I mean, I would just put an interim in and do it now to make the recruits kind of take an eye up and go, hey, you know what? They're making changes now, and I think they should do it now, like right now. So thank y'all.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Kevin. Appreciate it. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. And I'm sure there are some Longhorn fans who feel the same way, right? Let's just rip this Band-Aid off right now and get rid of Tom Herman so the recruits know. They might not know who the next coach is going to be, but they know there is going to be a change made at the top and that Texas will not stand for this type of season year in and year out. So I don't think that's going to happen. I think Tom Herman's going to get to coach these last two games. The bowl game could be a question, right? I mean, we saw a lot of the coaching staff, a lot of the assistant coaches fired after the regular season finale last year before the bowl game against Utah. So maybe that happens this year, but I don't think that's going to happen with Tom Herman.
I think it all has to do with if they've got something lined up. And I my guess is they're thinking along the lines of a lot of Texas fans that it's got to be that big hire. Mm-hmm. So if that's lined up, then maybe so. But I'd be surprised if they do something that quickly. Is there anything else that Kevin threw out there?
I don't want to make it sound like I wasn't listening. He talked about Sam Ellinger being dealt kind of a shorthand a little bit. And look, Sam...
Come back next year.
I mean, yeah, that's still an option for Sam Ellinger with the eligibility waiver in college football.
For everyone.
It's an option for everybody. You know, we talked about it on the Facebook thing a little bit. Legacies for quarterbacks are defined by championships, right? And we know Sam Ellinger has put up ridiculous numbers. He already has school records. He might set a couple of more school records by the time he's out of here, even if it is this year. But... couldn't win that Big 12 championship, man. And whether it's fair or not, that's what your legacy as a quarterback is determined by. And I know it kills him. I know it kills the entire team that they couldn't get it done. But a lasting memory for a lot of folks about the Sam Ellinger era at Texas is going to be that sack he took on 3rd and 10, because this was the game that Texas had to win, right? If they win this game, you feel like, oh, they're going to beat K-State. They're going to beat Kansas. They're at least going to give themselves a shot to win the conference title this year. But on that play, Sam Ellinger, just a bad decision. And he's had some bad decisions this year. Hadn't gotten a lot of help. And he was the leading rusher today, and he did a lot with his arm today. He looked healthy. He looked as good as he's looked maybe since the Texas Tech game. But that play right there, a lot of people are going to point to and say he just wasn't able to get it done in the most crucial moments during his Texas career.
Missed some throws. Brennan Eagles high on that one. Kind of was laughing with him a little bit on the sideline about that. Say, man, I just missed you. Made some really good throws. The one that Jake Smith, where he's rolling left and be able to fire that ball like a shortstop was impressive. But, yeah, that option is open for him to come back. Back to the phone lines here. KO, you're up next.
Hey, guys, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, KO?
Man, I don't know where to start, man. We got beat by 3 tight ends and a running back. We got Sam Ellinger, George Winnington, Jake Smith, Brandon Eagles, Wiley, 2 good running backs. I just don't get it, man. We got beat by 3 tight ends and a running back. And yeah, Herman got to go, but right now, man, my choice right now, and you might think different, and he's been in playoffs and won championships, is Brent Venables. I think he's going to be a hell of a coach, man. Remember I said that Brent Venables is going to be a hell of a head coach, and I'll let y'all listen.
Well, thanks for the call, KO. And yeah, Brent Venables, the defensive coordinator at Clemson, the former defensive coordinator at Oklahoma, who got fired by Bob Stoops at OU. And then went on to do some pretty damn good things as the DC at Clemson. He's been linked to a lot of jobs over the years. I think he would take this job. I don't know if that's the guy I'd go after, though, if I'm Texas.
I wouldn't, but I like the idea, KO. If you are going to go get a coordinator, you're going to go get someone like that,
yeah,
who's been with one of the top 2 programs, 3 programs in the country and has been there for a long time, has seen how Dabo has built it. And there's no question. There was a question when Bob Stoops fired him. Is this defense that OU was struggling with, is it a Mike Stoops issue or is it a Venables issue?
We got our answer.
We found out. We got our answer emphatically.
I love that. You got beat by 3 tight ends and a running back. That's pretty hilarious. Well done there, KO. All right, we've got about 5 minutes left. We've got 2 callers to get to. Actually, 1 caller to get to. So perfect timing. JD, you're the caboose, man. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. Let me throw another concept at you. I know there's a lot of talk about Tom Herman. A lot of talk about play calling, a lot of talk about player substitutions and all these things. What if there's something bigger and systemic going on here? We saw it with Charlie Strong. I think we saw it somewhat with Mac Brown, that there are other factors here within the system that interrupt the football program of, like, who's really running it. You know, there's been talk in the past about substitutions being made where they're promising some kid or his parents, hey, he's going to get to play. I think we saw some of that today. I just throw that as a concept out there that maybe rather than playing to win, maybe they're trying to appease people, maybe the alumni crowd, somebody else who likes to, like, there was a rumor running around that Mac Brown had to make a phone call to certain big alumni guys during the week to tell them what's going on with the program.
Mm-hmm.
Who's running the program? Is Tom having to do the same thing? Is he having to succumb to some of these cigar guys or whatever? Who's running the program? And then who loses? We, the fans, us loyal Longhorn guys, as well as the players. So
good.
Throw that as a concept out there.
Good call, JD, and I don't think it's a crazy concept. BK started shaking his head because he knew that that was going to be right up my alley. It's stuff I've talked about on our show and things that I've just seen with my experience and talking to people in the know that, yeah, I mean, there is a systemic issue with this program. It wouldn't have, you wouldn't have this many resources and have this many things going for you and have the kind of results they certainly had over the last 10 years with now three different coaches. I'll throw in the end of Mac, obviously all of Charlie, and then what Tom Herman's done. There are other things where they could make this a much easier job. And now, is it still very doable and very winnable? Yes. Are there issues at any big program where you do have to appease certain people like the cigars? Yes. But it's even more systemic than that. There are people that the structure and the machine has been around so long that there are a lot of people that have been there with it for that time. Mm. And that is an issue for a head coach.
That's an Alabama term, the machine.
The machine, right.
How do you appease those big cigars, though, KD?
Well, the main thing is to win.
Yeah.
I mean, you just got to, if you win and they didn't get the phone call, get over.
You can be a jerk. You can be arrogant if you win. Now, Mac Brown was not, right? Mac Brown did a great job of playing the political side of the Texas football job, and he talked to the right people, and he appeased the right people.
And it saved him a couple of years.
And it saved him a couple of years at the end. There's
no doubt about it,
right? Yeah, they had to bring in Steve Patterson to fire him because nobody wanted to fire him. It was that bizarre, that crazy. But ultimately, I mean, if Tom Herman wins football games, then the big cigars are going to be satisfied. And that's as simple as that. And then look, in terms of who runs the Texas football program, it's a business, man. We laugh when we call it amateurism, right? I mean, Texas football is a business. What runs businesses? It's money.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of calling the shots, the money calls the shots. Tom Herman is running the program, but the money makes the decisions on who the head coach is going to be, and that's what Chris Del Conte has to listen to.
But good companies don't start with that. They don't start with it's about the money. They end up with it's about the money. So Alabama is about winning and winning championships, and as a result of that, they end up making money, and they end up also making the school better. Florida State's a much better academic school right now than it was 20 years ago. I got news for you. It's because of Bobby Bowden and that run they had.
The bar was underground.
You win, right, you win. That's true. You win and everything will trickle down off of it. Don't start with money and expect that to trickle into wins.
I like that. All right, that's going to do it for us. Appreciate all the calls, all the texts. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Hope y'all had a great Thursday. Hope y'all have a great weekend as well. The final score from DKR TMS, Iowa State 23, Texas 20. With the loss, the Longhorns fall to 5-3 on the season, 4-3 in conference play. Their Big 12 title hopes are all but dashed. For Sam Pica behind the glass, for Kevin Dunn, I am BK Brad Kellner. Thank y'all so much for listening. We'll be back next Saturday. We have no idea what time, no game time announcement for K-State, but two more regular season games. Y'all have a good one and hook 'em.